Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Naso. This week, Neiman Novetzky discusses Naso. Neiman Novetzky is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Neiman Novetzky.
Thank you, Larry. Towards the middle of this week's Parsha, we read about the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, of the priestly blessing. The verses tell us, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'mor, and God spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon ve'al banav, tell Aharon and his children, Kol tevarachu et b'nei Yisrael, thus shall you bless b'nei Yisrael. And mor lahem, tell them, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, may God bless you and watch over you. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichuneka, may Hashem shine his face upon you and deal graciously with you. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, may God raise his face towards you, v'yaseim lecha shalom, and give you peace. The passage ends, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachim, and they shall put my name on Israel, and I will bless them. The passage raises an important question about the nature of blessing. What does it mean to bless another? What does it mean for God to bless me? And perhaps, what does it mean for me to bless God? In the passage we just read, there's a certain tension from the first verse of the passage until the last. In the beginning, we read, Ko tivarachu et b'nei Yisrael, thus you shall bless b'nei Yisrael. At the end, though, God says, Va'ani avarachim, I will bless them. What's the relationship between the Kohen's blessing of b'nei Yisrael and Hashem's blessing of them? If God is blessing us, then what role do the Kohanim play at all? Rashi solves this tension by simply saying, Va'ani avarachim la'Kohanim. He says, it's perhaps possible to read these two psukim as referring to two different things. When it tells us, Ko tivarachu b'nei Yisrael, that is the Kohanim blessing b'nei Yisrael. When Hashem at the end says, Va'ani avarachim, he's referring not to b'nei Yisrael, but to the Kohanim. The Kohanim will bless us, and then God says, I will bless you, the Kohanim. This, of course, removes the tension, but Rashi's one of the sole mefarshim who actually read the psukim in that way. Most people think that actually both psukim are referring to a blessing of B'nai Israel, maintaining that tension between God and the Kohanim blessing and who really is doing the blessing. So let's look at how a few commentators deal with the tension and what they say about the nature of blessing as a whole. We'll start with the Midrash. The Tanchuma tells us, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitchila ani hayiti mivarech biyotai. God said, in the beginning, I used to bless my creations. Mikan veilich, from this point on, though, harei habrachot mesurot lachem, from this point on, I'm giving over the brachot to you. V'tiyu mevarchem b'nei Yisrael, you, the Kohanim, you will bless b'nei Yisrael. Amar Knesset Yisrael, when Am Yisrael hears this, they turn to God and they say, Ribono shel olam, master of the universe, l'Kohanim ata omer sheyivarchu otanu, you're telling the Kohanim, the priest, that they should bless us? We don't need anyone's blessing except for yours. That we should be blessed by you. As it says, you shall look out from the place of your holiness. God says, don't worry. Even though I told the Kohanim that they shall bless you, don't worry, I'm standing with them and I will bless them also. And that's why when the Kohanim give their blessing, they hold up their palms and open them up as if to say that God is standing right behind us. And therefore, that's what it means by you shall bless B'nai Israel. So according to the Midrash, God hands over the job of blessing to the Kohanim. But he tells us, but you should know that doesn't mean that I've removed myself from the blessing. I'm standing right behind them as they bless. So on one hand, the Midrash seems to be trying to deal with the two mentions in the Pasuk, your blessing versus God blessing. But it still maintains the original question of, well, then what's the point? Why are you handing over the blessing to the Kohanim if you're going to be doing the blessing anyway? Why don't you just bless us directly, as B'nai Israel said, we don't need the Kohanim, we just need you. So Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch takes us a bit further. He too is somewhat, I think, hesitant to say that the Kohanim on their own are blessing Bnei Israel. Perhaps part of the question is, well, how can a human bless another human anyway? I don't have it in me to ensure that God is going to watch over you just because I say, God, watch over you. Just because I bless you, may God's face be raised towards you and may he give you peace. Who said that's going to happen? So just like the Tanhuma says, well, it's going to happen because God's blessing with you. Rav Shimshon Rufalher says, the Kohanim are actually merely just a vessel. He says, Mashmuta hi betochna shenitan la objektivit, va'kohen ha-mesharit ha-omer ta-bracha ino ela kli shehuzman lakach. He says the importance of the bracha is in its objective state. The kohen who's serving and saying it is simply a tool that's been invited to do the saying. Be'emtza'uto yavo lidi bitoy ha-ma'asim sham v'hamilim kan. He says, via their presence, there'll be an expression of whatever meaning, of whatever words they say. And he says, but one has to always remember that they themselves aren't actually playing a role. This is just part of the service, and they happen to be the tool that's used in this aspect of blessing the people. And he says, think about how la halacha Bekar Kohanim works. Makri'im lehem mila mila et shar kol lashon habracha. He says, when the Kohanim stand up to bless the nation, they actually don't even bless the nation by themselves. We actually, and today it would be the chazan or somebody in the community reads to them word for word all of the words of the blessing. Someone says Yivarachacha, then the Kohanim respond Yivarachacha. Hashem, then the Kohanim respond Hashem. It says Nimtza Shehim Rak Omrim Et HaBracha SheKvar Ne'emar Lahem. In reality, the Kohanim aren't doing anything. They're just saying a bracha that has been said to them. He points out, therefore, it seems that the priests are actually acting totally passively. Once again, they are simply vessels for this bracha. They're able to bless only if they are called to do so by the kahal, right? When someone in the kahal in the community calls out kohanim, that invites them to come and give the blessing. And in addition, they just say the blessing that has been read to them by the kahal. La'amito shel davar, ha-kahal mevi al atzmo et ha-bracha ha-yotzeit mipi ha-kohanim b'mitzvat Hashem. He says, in reality, what's really happening? The community themselves are bringing upon themselves the bracha that the kohanim just happened to be saying. So Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, I think, here is saying something extremely beautiful. He's saying, well, what's going on in the giving of this bracha? Is the Kohanim doing, are the Kohanim actually blessing you? Is it God blessing you? What's going on? So he actually brings the congregation into this and suggests this isn't the Kohanim blessing, but it's not only Hashem blessing either. It's the Kahal who's bringing upon themselves a blessing, suggesting perhaps that a blessing can only come upon a person if they invite that blessing in. You have to be ready to receive a blessing in order to actually receive it. The Kohanim could say something. It won't do anything if you're not ready to receive it. Hashem might want to give you a blessing, but you have to be on the other end in order to get it. Rav Moshe Alshach, I think, says this a little bit more clearly. He says, Kol tivarchu v'tet yachasu atem lemevorachim, b'mor lehem ba'atzmam yivarachacha, lo b'mor lehashem. He says, and you should go and bless them. And you should say, he shall bless you. Because by doing this, you'll be able to place my name on Israel. He says, by the Kohanim talking to Am Yisrael, they make move them in the direction of being able to receive the bracha. Because that's the only way in which they will be able to have the shefa, to have the abundance and be influenced to receive the bracha. What Rav Moshe Alshach seems to be suggesting is, what's the role of the Kohanim in this bracha? If Hashem is giving you a bracha, Hashem wants something good to happen to you, why do I need a Kohen in the middle? He says the job of the Kohen is actually to be a vehicle in which to prepare the nation to be able to receive the bracha. Their job is not actually to bless, as Rav Hirsch had said, in some ways they're just a vessel. They're just listening and repeating words that are being recited to them. But that give and take between them and the kahal, them turning to the kahal and say, Yivarachecha Hashem, may God bless you, allows the person to be on the receiving end and prepares them to actually receive a bracha. So one might look at Birkat Kohanim and from these sources say, in general, what does it mean for a person to bless another? Perhaps a person blesses another is really enabling a person to be on the receiving end of a bracha from Hashem. Abarbanel picks up on this theme and sort of raises a larger question of what's a blessing in general, and suggests that a blessing differs depending on who's giving the blessing to whom. So he says there's actually three different types of a blessing. He says when a person gives a blessing to God, a person is usually giving thanksgiving to God, right? When I say a bracha before I eat an apple, what I'm doing is thanking God or praising God for that apple. He says, on the other hand, when God gives a blessing to a person, that's God giving some type of an abundance of good to a person. What's a person blessing another person? So here he would read Birkat Kohanim in a slightly different way. He says that that's basically a tefillah. That's basically a prayer. When a person blesses another person, they're praying to God that that person be blessed. What all of these opinions, I think, have in common is to some extent suggesting that a person actually doesn't really have power to bless another. It's only God. What you have the power to do is either to beseech God that he give that blessing or to prepare man to be able to be on the receiving end of Hashem's blessing. What I want to now do is sort of turn to the other side of the coin. Abarbanel talks a little bit about this, the question of what does it mean to bless God? And to question whether Abarbanel's threefold definition of blessing is the only way to look at it. Does a blessing have to take on a different meaning, whether we said God is blessing man, or man is blessing God? And the Rav, in an article called Habrachot Bayahadut, talks about this at length and suggests that actually maybe we could try to find some meaning of the word blessing, which will apply across the board, whether we're talking about man to God, or God to man. And he starts off by pointing out that, yes, in general, when we think of blessing God, we tend to think in terms of praise or thanksgiving, just like Abarbanel had said. He says, though, if you look at the context of brachot in Tanakh, you'll see that the word actually gets used in a different context, and you get a slightly different picture. He says, if one went through all the places in Sefer Bereishit where someone is getting a bracha, where someone is giving a bracha, where we're talking about this concept of a bracha, of a blessing, almost all of the brachot of Sefer Bereishit are in the context of pruvu, be fruitful and multiply. People are being blessed with progeny. People are being blessed to be fruitful. And the truth is, if you look at most commentators on the first appearance of the root barach in Tanakh, most people explain the word along these lines, that it means abundance of some sort. Okay? Thus, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman points out that in Arabic, the root bet resh chaf means to widen. Thus, bracha means abundance. Ibn Ezra suggests that the word means an additional good. Ravashi points out that Shabbat was blessed with 2 times the amount of mana. Again, some additional good, some type of an abundance is what a bracha seems to mean. So when we think about that, we have to think, well, then what does it mean to bless God? Obviously not requesting that he bear many children. We're probably not requesting that he have an abundance of good, because if he's all good and all knowing, doesn't he have it all already? How could I give him any more than he has? And how could a mere human bless God anyway? So in Rav Soloveitchik's article, he notes that if you think about its usage in Tanakh, what Tanakh is really saying is that a bracha is the ability for male and female to meet and bear offspring. A bracha is always connected to a they. With every coupling, he points out, there's an influencer and an influenced, a giver and a receiver, a created and a creator, a male and a female. He points out that every individual, too, has these two sides. As the Midrash points out, man was created with 2 faces, as both male and female, because every person is at once an influencer and someone who is being influenced, is both a teacher and a student. So he suggests, when we look at the context of the brachot of Sefer Bereishit, and they're all about purvu, be fruitful and multiply, they're all about a coupling, a meeting of male and female, he says, what does this mean? He says, a bracha is meriting this meeting of male and female, this meeting of the ability to influence and be influenced in turn, to both give and receive. He points out a mediocre person can become great if he is blessed with positive surrounding influences. Similarly, a great person can be nothing if he never gives. So again, it's a beautiful concept, but what does that mean when applied to God? Hashem, creator of all, to some extent, is the male par excellence. He's the giver, we the receiver. He seems to be always the influencer, the creator. When is it that he's getting? Yet, Hashem at the same time, especially in Kabbalah, is called the Shechina, is called a Kala, a bride. God apparently can be female, can be the receiver. The question, of course, is how? So Rav Soloveitchik answers that perhaps there actually is one aspect of God which is actually in human hands. He says, Gilui Shechina, the revelation of God, is in our hands. It's our duty to, quote-unquote, bring Hashem out. Because if we choose not to see him, then Hashem is not seen. There is one aspect where we, in quotes, give to God by revealing God. And he says, and that's actually what we do when we make a bracha. When we recognize God in nature, when we recognize God as we eat, we can, quote-unquote, spread the Shechina. We can make more of God or spread out the Shechina, reveal God by telling everybody, when I eat this apple, I'm recognizing that God is behind it. We proclaim to the world that Hashem is creator of all, and in that sense, we cause a priya revia of Hashem, because Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God, must start with us. So if the Rav focuses on what it means for us to bless God and sort of answers that by mentioning God's role in all the different things we do, by recognizing God in nature, by recognizing God in the food we eat, by recognizing God before the actions we do, we basically spread God. He's saying there is something in the power of man to bless God, to give to him, and that all blessings share that common motif of, yes, giving to another. I want to end with one little section of the Gemara, which again talks about a man blessing God, and in some ways goes a step further than Rav Soloveitchik. In the Gemara in Brachot Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, it tells us Tanya. We learned in a Braita, Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha tells us, Pamachat nechnasti laktir ktoret lifnai velifnim. One time I entered the Kodesh HaKadashim, I went to the Holy of Holies, in order to go and bring a ketor, to bring an incense offering. And when I entered, I saw Hashem sitting on the glorious throne. And God said to me, Yishmael b'ni, my son Yishmael, bracheni, give me a bracha, give me a blessing. Amarti lo, and so I said to him, Yehi ratzon milfanecha, let it be your will, sheyichbeshu rachamecha et kaascha, that your mercy should overcome your anger, viagolu rachamecha midotecha, and that your feelings of mercy should be foremost amongst your different midot, your different measurements, the titnahegim banecha b'midat harachamim, and let you behave with your children with the midah of rachamim, of mercy, the tikanes lehem lefanim mishurat hadin, and that you act with them before the strict line of justice. V'nianali b'rosho, and God nodded. The Gemara ends, Kamash malan, from this we learn, shelo tehe brachat hadyot kala b'necha, never belittle the power of a small one to give a bracha. So this Gemara is beautiful, but mamash empowering in the sense of saying, yes, actually, man making brachot can have an effect on Hashem. And yes, in some ways, he's going back to Abarbanel and suggesting that what does it mean for man to make a bracha? Man to make a bracha is a tefillah. But that you have the power to make tefillot to Hashem that actually will affect a change. And so just my end bracha to all of you is that Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha's words shall come true, and that God should treat us all with mercy. And be mitnehig lifaneinu lifnim mishurat hadin. May you all have a wonderful Shabbat.
Thank you, Nima. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.